motion and...
I redo.
Okay, hold on one moment. The Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis will be conducting a hearing at this time, sir.
What was that again?
I'm just introducing you to the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis, who will be the lead, leading your hearing at this time, sir. So just hold on to the phone.
Okay.
Sir, can you state your name and ADC number for the record?
My name is Jose Arvizu. My ADC is 163713.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on April 4th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. Although you cannot see us because this is a telephone hearing, in the room is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the hearing lead. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you. Before we get started, let me just swear you in. So Mr. Arvizu and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Arvizu, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Now keep in mind, there's a vote between phase one and phase two to determine whether to be passed to the next phase. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
I do, sir.
Thank you. I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse under criminal rules or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by use of heroin on or about January 16, 2018 for the task DC Miss Lab report dated January 19, 2018. Mr. Arvizu, is this true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about March 6, 2018 for the task individual testing compliance summary dated March 15, 2018. Mr. Arvizu, is this true or false?
It's true. I'm 2 minutes late, and they closed on me. It's true.
Thank you, sir. And allegation number three, violation of condition number seven, is demonstrated by use of morphine without a valid prescription on or about March 7, 2018 for the task GCMS lab report dated March 12, 2018. Mr. Arvizu, is this true or false?
It's true. I wrote myself a methadone without letting my parole officer know, and it's true.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for being candid.
Mm-hmm.
I will now make a motion to pass from phase one to phase two, and that is based on Mr. Arvizu's admission. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Arvizu, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. It is during this phase that the board will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for questions and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Arvizu was released from AEC custody on 1/15/2017 and arrested on 3/19/2018 by AEC in office. no new charges. He was returned back to ADC custody on 3/19/2018 with a release date of 6/17/2018, zero abscond phase. Current conviction, 2017, count one, dangerous drug violation, 5 years. 2007, commitment B, dangerous drug violation, 10 years. Prior conviction, 2001, theft, 1 year, 6 months. This is his second term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 4.3. Mental health score is a 3. Substance abuse score is a 3. STG information, he's a suspected New Mexican mafia. Prior terms of supervision, 2004 TIS release completed 3 months. Disciplinary history is significant with drugs, violence, and disorderly conduct noted. Other arrest, 2000, false reporting, emergency response in Arizona, results unknown. 2004, issuing a bad check, Arizona, unknown the outcome. The offender's GB score is G5B6. And additional comments on 4/10/18, he received disciplinary for disobeying an order for refusal to uncover the window in his cell, and he was found guilty of a minor.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to Mr. Arvizu. I'm going to try to make a quick summary of your case supervision, but do keep in mind you have considerable notes in both programming and sanction. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections on January 15, 2017 with an approved residence at 5461 West Granada Road, Phoenix, Arizona. You did not provide any other addresses to be investigated. Is that the only place that you lived when you were outside of prison, Mr. Arvizu?
That's correct.
Thank you. We have employment notes that you were given referrals. Looks like that you reported employment at Specialty Graphics, 150 South 51st Street. That was verified by P.O. Turner. On March 12, 2018, you reported being unemployed. You were given referrals to gain employment. Did you get any other work, sir?
That day, I got arrested. I was supposed to start another job at in Mesa for a driving company. I had to show up at 10, but I got arrested at 8 in the morning by my parole officer. So
okay.
That's why I quit the other job a week before.
Well, sir, that's good that you're looking for work. I think one of the big issues on your violation was drug use, and
yeah,
pretty extensive notes. It looks like that you were enrolled in CHC for substance abuse programming and assessed 24 sessions. May 5th, 2017, you were re-enrolled in CHC. It looks like you completed that program. On March 27, 2018, you were placed in the 90-day MRC ITH program. May 5th, 2017, you're discharged due to you claiming to be having issues with a resident, etc. On January 17, 2017, you referred to Task Color of the Day program, assigned the color mint. On January 22, 2018, you were assigned the task color brown. You're responsible for submitting urine samples while on supervision. Looks like on March 17, you had a positive for morphine. March 24th, a failure to produce urine sample. August 30th, 2017, looks like we're moving backwards on the way this was written. But further back, you had an altered diluted sample. It is in order. I was thinking that was 2018. So, more recently, on January 16, 2018, you had a positive for heroin. Diluted sample on February 5th, 2018. Failure to provide sample on March 6th. And then on March 7th, 2018, you're positive for morphine. And it would seem that's probably about the time that you were violated. Some sanctions notes. That you were staffed by Esco Allen for your admitted use of heroin on March 15, 2017. and sanction 5 days in MRC. And I'll just kind of move forward because there's quite a bit in here. But near the end, you're directed to submit a testable urine sample in February 2018. In March 2018, you were staffed by P.S. Fleshman for positive urine sample. On March 7, 2018, for opiates, and your failure to submit a UA on March 6, 2018. At the time of staffing, the GCNS test was not completed for positive UA for opiates on March 7, 2018. Double check. Wow. Okay, March 8th, it looks like that you called parole officer Turner and said that you would not be able to report for your scheduled face-to-face contact visit because you were detoxing. Your attorney directed you to report to Community Bridges, says that you have proper medical treatment during your detox. On March 9, 2018, you contacted Peel Turner and said you did not report to CBI's director because you're getting yourself off methadone. I'm going to kind of move forward here, too. I'm not going to read every sentence, but it looks like that you certainly had some ongoing issues with drug abuse. So let's talk about that. Was any of the treatment effective when you were on community supervision?
I'm going to say something real quick.
Yes, sir.
I do have a problem with addiction. The reason I'm here is because, honestly, I wasn't honest with my parole officer. My parole officer is a good person. He tried to help me a lot of times. And the only thing is that I would do things without letting him know. I got him methadone without letting him know. He doesn't know this, but I'm going to barber school at right there in Van Buren 27th in Phoenix, and I didn't let him know either. When I try to get off methadone, I didn't let him know. I didn't tell him. He told me to go to Community Bridges. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Oh, he told me to go to Community Bridges. I didn't go when he asked me. But four days before I got arrested, I took myself to Community Bridges. I was there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, next Friday night, and then that Monday of the next week when I got arrested. So I was doing a lot of things under the influence without letting them know. I don't know why. I don't know if it was me, it was my addiction, or what it was, but I had a problem with that. Now, being on methadone, to me, wasn't working. I was doing it for a while, but honestly, methadone is just another legal way to be high. And I just wanted to get done with everything. When I decided to get off methadone, it was different than the sickness I had experienced. So that was a downfall on itself. I got a good family support system, and my wife has been there through thick and thin, and she's always tried to help me, and she tried to help me get detox. That's when I let my boss, Mr. Turner, I was detoxing from methadone, and which is why I didn't show up that day I missed. And I have a letter for you guys right here, but you guys basically, everything I said on there, you guys basically just said it right now. The only thing is that I did do a lot of positive things. That's the longest I've worked in all my life, and I was struggling with being a dad, being a husband to my wife, especially her making more money than me, and paying most of the bills, that to me was, I felt less of a man than I should have been. It just affected me. And then I was going to my barber school, like I said. I did finish classes. I did do the MRC a couple times. But under methadone, I don't think it was good for me. And I just wanted to finish with my addiction. And right now, thank God, I'm the healthiest I've been. And I see things different. I think I should have been honest with him, and I think he would have helped me. And man, right now I'm looking forward to getting some help. Getting some help in my addiction, and I just want to be there for my kids and my wife. I mean, she's put up with a lot of stuff, and I just want to be there and help her and support her and work and be a dad or somewhat of a decent dad and learn how to be a better dad. And just be a positive member of the community. And I think being in here, locked in the cell 24/7, is not going to help me. I think being out there, even if it's for a little bit of time on parole, I think Mr. Turner can help me more out there, and I can help myself more now that I'm thinking straight and I'm sober, and I think I'm ready to just take on that challenge. I'm done. This is the most sober I've been, and I'm trying just to do the right thing. And
Mr. Arvizo, can I ask you a few questions?
Yes.
And I want to keep it positive because I do think you've done some good things. One, did you finish your barber training?
I want to get out because I've missed this time that I've been in here. I've been going since November of last year. So my wife called my teacher and let him know that I'm in here. He said, well, you can't be missing too many more days because then he's going to lose his grant. I got a grant from Arizona at Work that pays for half of my tuition. So I'm trying to get out as soon as possible because that's one of the main things that I'm looking forward to finishing. And I would only have like two or three more months left to finish to get my license.
Okay, my next question is how long have you been sober? I mean, you've been honest with us about your addiction, so how long have you been sober?
The day I got arrested was the last day that I got high. And which is what this was, that's why I lied to my parole officer because I don't know, just my addiction was taking control of me, and now this is the most I've been sober right now. Since I got arrested in March 2023.
Well, Ms. Arvizu, we're not counselors, but I think it's worth saying that you'll be well advised that when you are released from the Department of Corrections, whether it's today, well, frankly, it's not going to happen today because it would take a certain amount of administrative time, regardless of how we vote today. But you'll be exiting the Department of Corrections soon, and you really need to take that advice about the people you are in the company of, because you're sober right now, you sound very motivated, and if you go back to that same environment and start hanging around people that are continuing to use heroin or methamphetamine or whatever's available out there, it's easy to fall back into that trap.
Right.
It's just worth noting. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Okay.
I have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Arvizu, we're getting close to the end of your hearing, and you have shared quite a bit of information with us. But is there anything else that you'd like to share with us without repeating yourself? This is your hearing.
I hope you guys give me a chance. I heard people say that it's hard to get out of parole hearings, but man, I'm positive, and I look forward to being sober and going forward with my life with my kids and my wife. But thank you for having the time with me. And thank you. Thank my parole officer, too.
Thank you, Mr. Arvizu. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you with our decision.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arvizu. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I do feel for Mr. Arvizu. He sounds like an individual that's really been struggling with addiction to harder drugs. And I do want to commend him for hopefully turning the corner when he's arrested. It would appear that he's sober right now, that he has a plan, that he has support outside of the correction system, at least I hope he does, and that he may very well be motivated to move forward and be a productive individual, especially within Santa Barbara School. But I will also say, with his sobriety being so recent and him having so little time left on his prison sentence, I think if you want to get technical, it's about 1 month and 8 days. My humane position is that he'd be better off taking advantage of these last weeks, staying sober, and putting together a plan for his return to the community. Under those conditions, he will no longer have a community corrections officer, so that will remove that from the equation. He can pursue his own sobriety and hopefully finish school so that he can serve his family. And again, as a matter of practicality, I will say, with so little time left, even if we did vote in his favor today, I'd say a great majority of that time would be taken in his administrative processing, and he wouldn't be coming out much sooner. So that's where I'll open the discussion. Right. Hearing no further discussion from my colleagues, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is regarding Mr. Jose Arvizu, ADC number 163713. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Arvizu was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal razor company, inasmuch that he relapsed into heroin addiction. And that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, and agreed upon by Mr. Neal. Mr. Arvizu, I take no pleasure in this, because I've certainly heard your position, but your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about June 17, 2018. That's next month. It's just a matter of weeks away. And we highly encourage you to take advantage of these last weeks to put together a plan for your return to the community, to serve your family. It sounds like you have a plan, and I just hope that you're very committed to your sobriety from this point forward. We certainly don't want to see you getting in trouble in the criminal justice system again or before this board. So we do wish you the best. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion will take place, and Mr. Arvizu, we'd appreciate it if you'd give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.